We're glad to bring you this message from Timeless Truths Radio Ministry with Pastor Jerry Burns. We trust that you'll be blessed as you apply these timeless truths to your daily life.
This life or eternal life is present when we place our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thank you so much for joining us on our radio program today. I'm Pastor Jerry Burns. This is Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, and we are honored that you took the time to join us for our program today. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. We'll read down to verse 3. I hope you have your Bible handy that you can look at these passages of Scripture, because we want you to see that this is from the Word of God. It's not our opinion or our church's opinion. This is God's Word, and God's Word is our authority, and God's Word is our direction for our life. And so we're looking at salvation today. What does it mean to be born again? Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him?" I want us to notice that expression in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. It's a great salvation. Think back in your life when you realized that hell was your destination, that forgiveness was your need, and that Jesus Christ was your answer. You knew in your heart that the Lord was your Savior when you prayed and asked him to save you, but you didn't know the half of what happened in your heart that day. Our lesson on Timeless Truths Radio Ministry this morning is to better understand the miracle of salvation. And yes, salvation is a miracle. A young businessman was rushed to a hospital in serious condition. A doctor predicted that he might die. Not a religious man at the time, he did, however, turn on a radio and heard a Christian song being played, "God Will Take Care of You." He said that he couldn't get that song out of his mind. He began to pray. It was near Christmas, a Sunday morning, and he heard a group of nurses having a brief worship service in a nearby room and struggled out of his bed and joined them. Well, there he prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save his sinful soul. That man recovered. After that day, for the rest of his life, he remained faithful to his commitment to Jesus Christ. He referred every business and every personal decision to God. He was firm in his ethics, living by the teachings of the Word of God. That man's name was J.C. Penney. You know, salvation isn't a trial by error basis. Salvation isn't something that you just test the waters. Salvation is complete trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, you're either a Christian or you're not. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. And so we're going to look at today in our Bible study, what does the Bible say about salvation? What does the Scripture say about eternal life? Or as the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, this great salvation. First of all, let's think about the truths that defines our salvation. The truths that defines our salvation. Number one, all mankind is lost and is in need of a Savior. Apart from Jesus Christ, men and women all over this world are living under condemnation. They are living in sin. 1 Kings chapter 8 says, "There is no man that sinneth not." Ezekiel chapter 18, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." The fact that we will die one day proves that we are all sinners. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The FBI went into a town to investigate the work of what appeared to be a sharpshooter. They were amazed to find many bullseyes drawn around the city with bullets that had penetrated the exact center of the bullseye. When they finally arrested the man who had been doing the shooting, they asked him about his technique that he used to obtain such accuracy in his shooting. The answer is simple. He shot the bullet first and drew the bullseye later. The Bible says that we have come short of the glory of God, and we may pretend that we're something that we're not, but at the end of the day, we are all sinners before God. The law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law is the knowledge of sin. The Ten Commandments show us that we cannot keep God's standard. We are sinners, and we have come short of the glory of God. David said, "In sin did my mother conceive me." The Bible describes our condition. We are sinners. But Jesus provides the only way of salvation. There are people in this world, sincere people, that would say it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe in something or someone. Friend, listen to me. Those people are wrong. Faith is important, but the object of our faith is equally important. Jesus saith unto him in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Salvation is received by grace through faith, without good works. The natural tendency of mankind is to assume that they must make amends for their actions. People will say they must work off their sin debt. The problem is the very best of what a person can do still leaves them short of heaven. "For all have sinned," Romans 3:23, "for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Isaiah 64, verse 6, "But we are all as unclean thing, and all of our righteousness," that's the good things that we do, "are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have driven us away." The Jews felt that they had to keep the law in order to be granted into heaven. other people seek forgiveness through a church system or rituals or some sacraments. But the Bible clearly states it comes through Jesus Christ. It is undeserved. It is unearned. That's why the Bible calls it a gift. Romans 11:6 says, "And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Galatians 2:21 says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If righteousness comes by what I do or what I accomplish or my own merit, then Jesus died in vain." Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done." It's Pastor Burns here, and I wanted to take a moment and invite you to partner with us in taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the city. You can invite your friends and family members to check out KitchenerHope.com. That's KitchenerHope.com, and watch our video. We also encourage you to pray for our ministry as we pray for you. And if you're able to support us financially, this would ensure that we stay on the air and continue to preach the gospel to the Waterloo region. We're going to continue our message in just one moment, but first, here's a message from our RU Recovery program.
Weak ends can make for strong beginnings, especially when you start each week with RU Recovery. They meet at Kitchener Baptist Church every Friday night at 7. Whatever you're struggling with, drugs, alcohol, pornography, tobacco, or any other behavioral problems like anger or depression, believe me, RU Recovery offers the help you need. Plus, you'll make some great new friends who understand what you're going through. And RU Recovery is open to people from all walks of life, any faith or no faith. Anybody who is just seeking to find something that works. I'm telling you, if you live better, you'll feel better. So why not make this your weekend for strong beginnings with RU Recovery? RU Recovery meets at Kitchener Baptist Church, 1720 Glasgow Street, every Friday night at 7 p.m. For more information, go to rurecovery.org or call 226-336-7680. That is rurecovery.org, 226-336-7680.
His mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. You see, once we receive that gift, our salvation is eternal and secure. The Bible calls this life eternal life, life without end. This life or eternal life is present when we place our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." 1 Peter 1 verse 5 says that we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. These are truths that define our salvation. We are sinners, but Jesus died for us, and him alone can give to us access to the Father, life eternal that is secure and eternal. Number two, let's think about terms that describe our salvation. I want to give you a list of terms found in the Bible that describe for our salvation, and this list will help you and help me to better understand this wonderful, great salvation. Number one, the Bible uses the word substitution to describe our salvation. Substitution is Jesus taking our place on the cross and paying for our penalty of sin. Substitution, Jesus died for you, but Jesus died as you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And the him there is Jesus Christ. Let me give you a second Bible word. That's the word reconciliation. Reconciliation is the bringing together of two parties, God and man, who have been separated by sin. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." Reconciliation is bringing together of two parties. We are separated from God because of our sinful nature, but Jesus Christ has reconciled us to God through the finished work of Calvary. Let's think about a third word. That's the word propitiation. Now, propitiation is Jesus satisfying the demands of a holy God through his sacrifice on the cross. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Jesus satisfied the righteous demands of a holy God through his sacrifice on Calvary's hill. Another word that we find in the Bible to describe our salvation is the word remission. Now, remission is the sending away or the putting away of our sins by the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 26, verse 28 says, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Another word used in our Bible to describe our salvation in Christ is the word regeneration. Regeneration is being born again into the family of God. It is passing from spiritual death to a spiritual life, from a spiritual darkness to a spiritual light. John 3, verse 3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." To be born again is regeneration, to be born into God's family. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Another word we find in our Bible to describe salvation is redemption. Redemption is setting free of one who is in bondage by paying the ransom price. Galatians 3, verse 13 says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." Jesus redeemed us, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Redemption, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Redemption is setting free of one who is in bondage. He paid the ransom price. On Calvary's hill, he cried, "It is finished." The debt is paid. We have redemption. Another word we find in our Bible is the word imputation. Imputation is God's assigning the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the account of a believing sinner. Not only does Jesus wash our sins away, but he imputes on our behalf. He puts to our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse 6, even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute or put to your account sin. Here's another word in the Bible. It's the word adoption. Adoption is becoming the child of God, receiving all of the rights and the benefits of being an heir of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, the spirit of adoption. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, even so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. We are a child of God. Another word I want you to understand is the word justification. Justification is God's legal declaration that a sinner is righteous or innocent as a result of their faith in Christ. Just as if I have never had a sinful nature. That's the word justification. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These are truths that define our salvation, terms that describe our salvation. But let's think about the tenses that develop our salvation. Salvation certainly is a miracle of a moment. I mean, we were sinners on our way to hell. We were going our own way and living according to the flesh. And then at that very moment, we are a child of God. We are saved. We place our faith and trust in him, and we receive eternal life. It is like a flower that blooms, and with each passing day, it becomes more full and more beautiful. I want us to think about the past tense of salvation and understand what took place the moment you got saved. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And friend, listen to me. When you think about what happened in your life when Jesus was nailed to the cross and he bled and died and he gave his life for you and he gave his life as you, he became your sin so that you could be a part of the family of God, determined never to get over the fact that you've been saved, that your sins are washed away, that you're not heading to a Christless eternity, but you're heading to a wonderful heaven because of what Jesus has done for you. And never take your salvation for granted. Never neglect such a wonderful, great salvation. Understand the beauty of Christ's work. That's the past tense of salvation. But think about the present tense of salvation. God wants your salvation to play a meaningful role in your life every single day. Salvation that we have in Jesus Christ as God works in our life and as the Word of God and the Holy Spirit governs our life, it teaches us how to respond to people, how to act every day, what we say and where we go and what we do. Salvation ought to have an important part in how we live our life every single day of our life. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 1, the Bible says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We are to live a life of victory, not a life of bondage, but a life of spiritual growth. You see, our salvation is our justification, just as if we have never had a sinful nature. That's the work of Christ, the event when we place our trust in Him and we call out to Him for salvation. But every day we use the word sanctification. This is separation unto Jesus. This is God's work in our life to bring us to a place where we act like Jesus and we think like Jesus and we react like Jesus. Our salvation ought to impact every single day of our life. But then let's think about the future tense of salvation. We have trials and struggles every day in our life. But there is coming a day when struggles will be no more, when struggles will give its way to victory, and we shall see the Lord Jesus face to face. What a wonderful day that will be. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The past, that's justification. The present, that's sanctification. The future, that is glorification.
Thank you for tuning into our program today. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that preaches the Word of God. For more information about our ministries and how we can be a blessing to you, visit timelesstruthsradio.com. Our radio program is available because of the faithful prayers and financial support from listeners like you. You can support our ministry by sending a financial gift to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. That's Timeless Truths Radio Ministry at 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. To learn more about how you can help this ministry, visit our website at timelesstruthsradio.com. Do you know the Jesus we talked about in this program? You can know abundant eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. Say yes to Jesus today. Ask Him to save you. Fully trust in Him. Learn more about Jesus and how you can have eternal life through Him by watching our video at KitchenerHope.com. Hey Christian, have you ever wanted to read the Bible through in 1 year? We have an easy-to-follow Bible reading schedule that will help you succeed. You can visit TimelessTruthsRadio.com to learn more. Thank you again for joining us this Sunday morning. Join us next week when we open our Bibles and study God's timeless truths.